Welcome back. You're listening to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Auckland's Triangle Television launched 9 years ago as New Zealand's first access TV channel. Its model then is the same as it is now, making chunks of airtime available to independent groups, these days at a peak rate of $400 per half hour. Although it provides a platform for Auckland's diverse ethnic groups, it was also the first broadcast outlet for new feature film hotties Back of the Y. The next big thing for Triangle is Stratos, a national channel on the new Freeview platform. We're joined by Triangle CEO Jim Blackman, who was also at the Digital Broadcasting Conference in Wellington. Well, firstly, Jim, what did you make of the conference? Do you think it found the industry in good heart?
I think overall, Russell, it was in pretty good heart. The one thing that I think that was lacking a bit was the talk seemed to be about technology and about digital. It didn't really address the issue of how are we going to fund programming in such a small market, particularly with the number of emerging stations that there are likely to be once digital actually arrives. And that was the thing that concerned me.
Do you think the reality is going to be that people will have to accept there's going to be a limited pool of money to go around in this new environment?
Oh, absolutely. And I think I think the days of the $30,000 half-hour budget for, you know, one-off programs is gone. I think that I think the production houses are really going to find it hard. The interesting thing was the talk of the millions and millions of dollars that BBC has compared to, say, New Zealand On Air. And to me, I didn't really think reality had hit, not in that area.
Of course, there was quite a lot of talk at the conference about broadcast rights and rights money, how much the independent producers get a slice of it, how much to pay for music and that sort of thing. Do you think that that'll be settled? Is that a big issue?
I think it's an ongoing issue. Everyone wants to clip the ticket, even for the smaller broadcasters like us. And I don't have any problems with some clipping of the ticket, but it's got to be fair and reasonable. I think that there could be some groups within the business who are getting more than their fair share, particularly for the amount of time and effort that they expend on the industry, particularly at their lower level.
And of course, the conference itself was organised by the Ministry of Culture and Heritage, which has quite a strong hand in all this. How big a role do you think the government is going to play as this new digital environment rolls out?
I think that's an interesting question, and I think we're starting to see a bit of a change now that Cordia has gone into its own get them by the neck type of commercial approach. We've seen them, for example, go into internet now. I think that the more lively government departments are going to tend to drive more than necessarily government itself. I think that we're starting to see that the itchiness between TVNZ and TV3, for example, as digital comes along. And I think the decisions are going to be more commercially driven than government driven. I think from our point of view, the decisions on transmission and on funding are more likely to be driven by government.
And of course, on the other side of the fence, you've got Sky, which is a digital TV broadcaster, sitting on quite a lot of money. What do you think its response is going to be, the Freeview?
I think that's something we're just going to have to sit back and wait and see. I can't see Sky just accepting the Freeview platform coming along and eating into their share, because there's going to be churn. We've noticed that on the little straw poll that we're doing on our own website. Quite a number of people are making that switch from pay to view to free to view, now that Freeview is there. They've got a big fighting fund, and I think that they are just flexing their muscle a little bit, particularly over the football rights with TV3, just seeing how far they can go. And my pick is, come the end of the month, we are likely to see something coming a little bit more strongly out of Sky once the new TVNZ channels come up and running, and we get there, of course.
And as you say, one of the offerings on Freeview is going to be yours. Triangle wasn't in the picture when Freeview was first announced. Now you're actually looking like one of the more compelling offerings there. What happened
well,
in the interim?
That's nice of you to say. Actually, Russell, it's not that novel for us. We've been working on this concept since 2002, and we've discussed it with government over a number of years, the idea being that there should in fact be a backbone for the development of regional and local television. One of the things that successive governments have always said that there should be, and that they did support the development of a local voice on television. And it's never really happened until relatively recently. We're now starting to see stations emerge in Oamaru, Paiatua, Kaitaia, there's one proposed for Whangarei. All the little centres now are starting to get itchy feet. The biggest problem that they're going to have, of course, is one of content. And our proposal was, and the backbone, if you like, for Stratos, is that we should provide a diverse selection of programming that these little stations can actually download and supplement their own local programming with. That's not to say that it's purely an industry channel. It's not. It's very much focused at the end viewer, and you will see, I think, some really interesting programs coming through on the new platform.
Have you done much work on licensing issues for that sort of program sharing thing? I imagine that is going to be an issue.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we've done now for a number of years is that we've always included in our broadcast contracts, our broadcast agreements with our program providers, that we have the right to be able to broadcast on a variety of platforms. They have the option, obviously, to opt out, but almost 100% have agreed to that. We have arranged rebroadcast rights with all of our major international satellite feeds, such as Al Jazeera, Deutsche Welle, TV5, all that supply of programming. And we have also established a fairly strong library with stations that are similar to ours in Australia and in the United States. And there's some really interesting low-level programming coming out of those areas. So I think we'll start to see some interesting and, as I said earlier, diverse programming coming through.
Now, this actually sounds a little bit like Wellington Access Radio has done. They've got a really nice internet back end that allows participating access radio stations to actually share programming, and it becomes like that. And if you look at something like the Public Radio Exchange in the US, another internet-based platform, can you see things going that way, where you've got all these local operators who can share programming?
Well, I think for a country like New Zealand, it's important. And I think that the internet has made the differences between Australia and New Zealand so much less than they were. The gap is closed considerably. So my pick is that we're going to see more programming crossing the Tasman, particularly at our level. It's really providing a portal for some of that programming to be able to get out. And it's not necessarily through IPTV, because I don't believe right now that the time is right for IPTV, despite the government push to go that way. I think that that is more likely to occur in a number of years. I think we're still going to be stuck with DVD or tape-based material, but that at the same time also allows that better interchange. Couple that with a satellite feed, then I think you've got a high-quality distribution network. With regard to streaming and stuff like that on the net, right now our focus has to be on what we're doing in Auckland and Wellington and with Stratos, because we've just undergone a $750,000 refit of the station. We have brought Wellington on in the past 12 months, and we are looking at a transition to Saturn in Wellington as well. So a lot's happening for us right now.
Where does an access station get $750,000 to invest?
Well, we've been lucky. We've got a lot of very supportive people behind us. The one guy that has really believed in our vision has been Michael Horton over many years, and he's supported us very well. We've had support from people like ASB Trust. We've had support, obviously, from our own revenue streams as well. So we've been able to mix and match a little bit over the period of time.
I suppose we should actually talk about what's going to be on Stratos. Is it just going to be what we can see in Auckland and Wellington on Triangle? What will it be?
Absolutely not. Some of that stuff will be up there. Some of that programming will be there. But there is going to be a much broader opportunity for people throughout the country to actually put programming up. It doesn't matter whether you're from Auckland or from Invercargill, no matter whether you're a production house or a secondary school or primary school even, the opportunity will be there for you to actually put broadcast nationally. And the way that we'll do that is that there is a prerequisite that the program must have screened on a regional station. That's to create the support for regional television at grassroots level, and then it will be considered for rebroadcast on Stratos now, at no cost.
Just finally, we tend to think of public broadcasting as being the same thing as the state broadcaster that you know, the public owns. I get the sense you see it in a much wider frame.
Oh, very definitely. To me, public broadcasting is just what it says. If you look at the model in the States, PBS, you have, if you like, pretty much what we're in the process of establishing here, and that really has come about by default. One of our guys just got back from a United Nations conference on broadcasting in Bonn, and they couldn't get their heads around how we're operating and how we've made it work over the 9 years that we've been on air. Apparently, the model that we're using is unique. Well, to me, it's really common sense rather than necessarily being unique. I think we're trying to use the resources that we have to provide a viable broadcasting option that is really non-competitive with the main players out there.
Well, best of luck with the new thing.
That's all we've got time for this week. You've been listening to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Podcasts of today's shows and highlights of previous shows can be found at publicaddress.net/radio. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for their support, and we'll be back at the same time next week. I've been Craig Runapier.
And I've been Russell Brown. We'll leave you now with Deja Voodoo, the musical alter egos of Back of the Y, who got their start on Triangle TV and had their debut feature film, The Devil Dared Me To, out next month. The song's called Tracy.
When you left me, you never said goodbye. Nobody told me the reason why. And when you left me, a little me died. Would you think less of me now if I broke down and cried? Nothing they give me will take away this pain. I drink myself stupid again and again and again and again. And all of my days and nights, they end the same. I go